the LiveX studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packers Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We're joined, as always, on our live chat by the best and the brightest from around the Packers blogosphere, including Cheesehead TV's own Jamie Snowden and Alex Talish. Corey Banky, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are joined by the one of the greatest beat writers in the country from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Packers beat writer extraordinaire, friend of the show, Mr. Tom Silverstein. Tom, how the heck are you?
Wow, after that introduction, I'm doing really good.
Oh, Tom, it's always a joy when we get you on the line. Lots to talk about. Let's dive in. Obviously, big opening weekend victory. Lots of, you know, surprises, I think you'd say. A number one being James Jones coming out of nowhere, picking up where he left off. Were you surprised to see the trust that Rodgers had with him right out of the gate? Obviously, they've worked together for a long time. They know each other really well, but I was kind of surprised at how seamlessly Jones seemed to fit in right back into the offense.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by the trust, but I was surprised by the performance. I didn't know what to expect. I had been told by people who had watched him, experts in that field, that he looked like he still had something left, that he wasn't washed up. And I think that proved to be accurate, that he's pretty close to what he was when he left here. I don't know if he's going to be able to beat people deep the way he did, when he, particularly that year when he had the 14 touchdowns, but he's, to be able to just pull someone off the street like that and be able to integrate him into the offense so quickly was pretty fortuitous for the Packers. I think that couldn't have worked out much better for him, really.
Tom dropping 50-cent words right off the bat. I like it. Switching over to the defensive side, obviously the loss of Sam Barrington for the year. I said in preseason that it was only a matter of time before Jake Ryan took over. I don't think that happens this week, but do you see any way Jake Ryan doesn't see the field in the next month or so? I mean, like at a regular clip?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think at some point we will see him in the starting lineup. I think Nate Palmer will be a stopgap. He's a physical player, and he'll be able to man the position to a degree, but I think they need someone who can really more of a natural inside linebacker who can really develop at that position. And that's why they drafted Jake Ryan, because that's what they think he is. And they think that ultimately he'll be a starter for them. He's still got a ways to go. It's not going to happen, like you said. It's not going to happen this week, and it's not going to happen next week. But maybe, by midseason, he'll be in tune with what they're doing defensively. And also, athletically, he's got to show that, or I should say physically, that he's, up for playing NFL football.
Speaking of the inside linebacker position, I know this happens every time there's an injury. It happened when Jordy Nelson went down. It's happening now again. My Twitter feed is blowing up with people asking about guys who are on the street, like Desmond Bishop or Brandon Spikes. I don't think that's a realistic possibility, but you're the expert. Do you think the Packers will look outside the building at all?
No, because all those guys were available pretty much during the offseason, and the Packers didn't really bite on them as it was. There were players like, Mason Foster, who signed with the Bears. Packers had a chance to sign him all offseason, and they didn't. So, no, I don't. It's just out of character for them to do that. I know, as you mentioned, every time someone goes down, you hear a bunch of names flying. But that's why these guys do, you know, their draft and develop is so that they have younger guys whose arrow is pointing up there to handle it. Come in.
Going back to the offense for a second, where do you fall on the offensive line? I know NFL Network's Heath Evans made some waves earlier, I think like last week, talking about the offensive line not being one of the best in the league. He said something about them being overrated. And I know this drew the ire of Packer fans, and I'm not saying he's right, but has McCarthy and et al. Kind of, you know, I'm not going to say kind of oversold it, but I wrote in my preview post for the season, it seems that like the Mike McCarthy's best line since he's been here is all well and good, but he's had some really terrible offensive lines. So how good is this offensive line realistically when you look around the top lines around the league?
Well, I don't think they're as dominant as the Dallas offensive line, which is, you know, powerful, has first round picks up and down the line. I don't know that if they're in that category, but the other thing you have to remember is that they don't necessarily look for the same things in linemen that some teams do. Their guys have to pass block first. First and foremost, they have to pass block for whatever gibberish or whatever you want to call it that is given to, you know, what a tough running team they are. They're not. They're built for protecting Aaron Rodgers. And that's what their number one objective is. And so from that standpoint, I think they're built pretty well. I think they're pretty good. I don't know if you're going to put them in the top five. That's, you know, probably for someone more knowledgeable than me to rate. But I think for what they're trying to accomplish, end of last year, I thought they were playing really well. I thought they protected Rodgers tremendously in Seattle in a situation where he couldn't even move out of the pocket.
Right.
So, and they played very well against Chicago. They played extremely well against Chicago. And so I don't know about overrated or whatever, but they are a very solid group.
What do you make of the day that Sam Shields had in Chicago? You know, I don't think there's any way to put it, but it was a long day at the office for Sam, and it sure seemed like the Bears were kind of game planning for not only going at him on the ground, I think that was very apparent, but also through the air. They weren't afraid of testing him when they had, you know, Demaryius Randall out there, who they barely tested. What did you make of that?
Well, you know, I started thinking, boy, this is a Terrell Buckley type of a day until I took into account that Sam Shields broke up two touchdowns,
and
was all over his man, except for the one play where he gambled and lost. It was a rough day. I'm not making excuses for him. But he's paid to really stop those guys down the field, and he at least did that. He kept them from scoring touchdowns. Now, he can tackle better than that. He has tackled better than that. He got sloppy. He wasn't showing much heart in those plays. Mm. And then he, you know, peaked in the backfield on that completion
that's the Sam Shields special,
50 yards.
Yep.
So yeah, it was not a stellar day for him. But I will, you know, and I kept pointing this out in a live blog that, you know, as long as he's at least his day included some pass breakups that were important.
Yeah.
And you know, it was not a good day, but he did some of the things he's paid to do.
Looking at the Seahawks now, going forward to Sunday, obviously big matchup, big showdown. Everybody, I think, is sick of talking about the NFC Championship game, so we won't do that. But can the Packers put up points on this team? I mean, obviously, week one was what it was last year, and then we all know about the struggles in the red zone in the championship game. Looking at what, you know, how they played against Seattle or against the Rams, it sure looks like there's some vulnerability there, especially in the secondary. Can the Packers take advantage of that?
I think so. I think they greatly miss Cam Chancellor. I mean, really miss him. It sort of reminds me of the year, and I can't quote you exactly what year it was, but when Emmitt Smith was a holdout for the Cowboys,
right,
in the first two games, and they lost the first two games, and after that, they just signed him right away. You know, they just were like, okay, we can't win without him.
Right.
And I think that's going to happen with Seattle, that they're going to have to realize that they've got to sign him and get him back, because he really is the heart of that defense. He's sort of the quarterback, and they need him to direct traffic, to get everyone together, and then he's just a monster when it comes to tackling. So I think, yes, there is some vulnerability that the Packers can exploit this weekend, and they better, because the next time they face some, Chancellor will probably be back in the lineup, and they're going to want to try to get them at home, so they better take advantage of it Sunday.
Absolutely. When you switch it around, you look at the Seahawks offense. I mean, Russell Wilson is going to do what he does. He's going to be a little erratic throwing the football. He's going to make magic things happen outside the pocket. Marshawn Lynch, we all know Marshawn in regards to what he can do. Obviously, the big new piece is Jimmy Graham. This scares the hell out of me. And I'm you know, on record throughout the offseason saying I thought this was a bad idea for the Seahawks, but I do think he can do a lot of damage against the Packers. How do the Packers even begin to, you know, kind of match up against Jimmy Graham, who gave them fits down in New Orleans last year?
Yeah, well, you know, I watched the St. Louis game pretty closely, and they just went, you know, for the head of the snake, which was they just came right after Russell Wilson,
right,
and then they made sure they had one guy on Graham, and they were physical with him at the line. You've got to try to knock him off his routes a little bit. You got to disrupt him. St. Louis brought blitzes, and they had Russell Wilson on the run a lot. Seattle eventually started coming back. You know, the Packers have to play him like they played in the NFC Championship game. They have to contain him, put some pressure on him, and then it won't matter that much with Graham. He's going to come up with some catches that are going to be, you know, where you're going to go, there's nothing they could do about that, you know. He's better than anybody they have who can cover him. But, you know, you can limit those, and if you're forcing Wilson to get out of his rhythm, you know, then you can, you don't have to worry about it as much. So they really need to get after him. They're not going to be able to do it like St. Louis does. St. Louis has the best defensive line in the NFL. But they can disrupt him, and I think that'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to see if they drop Julius Peppers some and try to match him a little bit in the short areas with Graham and try to take away some of that stuff. That'll be kind of interesting to see.
Absolutely. Cat and mouse game definitely in play there. We're talking to Tom Silverstein from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the man, the myth, the absolute legend. Tom, before we let you go, got to get your prediction if you're, you know, at liberty to give it prior to it hitting the paper.
Oh, man, yeah. See, I haven't even gotten to it yet.
Sure.
I haven't. I really give it a lot of thought. I'm leaning toward the Packers right now. I can't tell you a score. I think it'll be close.
Right.
Seattle's not going to just collapse. They're going to, you know, really try to claw out of this. But I think they're kind of in trouble with the whole Chancellor thing, and they got to get that straight. And I think the Packers are probably catching them at the right time.
I pretty much agree there. All right, Tom.
One last thing. When we were at training camp, Tom, I got to bring this up. I asked Aaron if he was going to bring it up. You are like the nicest guy, by the way. You really are. It's so amazing. We totally ambushed you with the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron was like, hey, Tom. And you were so nice. You were like, yeah, hey, Aaron, what's up? And then as soon as you saw the camera, you were like, oh, shit. That
was amazing. I didn't know you could say that on this show, but that's exactly what I said. Yeah, you quoted me perfectly. It was just so surprising to have a camera in my face all of a sudden.
Yeah, we're like the TMZ for Packer fans.
Yeah, well, turnabout spare play because I, you know, jump other people with a microphone, you know, or my tape recorder, or my notebook. So it's probably good that I learned what that was like.
We're just here to educate, yeah, Tom. That's why we're here.
Thanks for being a good sport about that.
Yeah, hey, no problem.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tom. Have a great night.
Okay, you too.
Tom Silverstein in the house. CheeseheadTV.com. Packer transplants dropping knowledge. I love Tom.
He's so great.
Every time he comes on the show, I say this, but I love Tom.
He's so great.
So great. And you're so true. Like, the moment he saw the camera and my arm came up with the microphone, he was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it was classic.
It was perfect.
I felt bad about it because we put it on the
I know.
We put it on the feed and we kept it. And I'm like, oh, he might be mad that we're putting this on there. Nah, and he's
a good guy. He don't. Sounds easy going. How you doing there, Benke?
I guess good. I mean, I'm glad I'm not I'm glad, you know, I'm talking Packers and I'm not watching some politics.
I know, man. Twitter feed's blowing up.
You know what? I'm just glad we're 1-0.
1-0,
I'm
baby.
I'm glad we're playing real games. We're 1-0.
First time in a long time we started the season with a win.
Good. I mean, I'll take it. It feels good. It's the Bears.
Whooping up on the Bears is always nice. I will say, it was funny because the game kind of played out how I thought it would, although I thought the Packers would pull away a little earlier.
Yeah.
But it did. I mean, the way I wrote it up, I was like, all right, it's going to be close, nip and tuck in the first half, and then the Packers will pull away in the second half. And before that Clay Matthews interception, I was like, all right, come on, it's time to start pulling away, guys. And then Matthews made the play.
Well, I'm kind of glad that Tom said what he said about Sam Shields because
That was on point.
I didn't watch the tape, I personally thought during the game that he didn't have the worst game for a cornerback, starting number one cornerback.
Right.
You know, and I know I'm the starting number one quarterback apologist, but just understanding what he has to do.
Right.
You know, the tip was great. And actually, the defense stepped up a lot. Like, the defense had a good game. They had the bend, but they had the...
They were good in the red zone defense that they have to have
to win games for this offense.
Yeah.
This team is predicated on an offense... and a special teams that's going to suck, and so the defense just has to do enough.
Hey, wait a second, but let's give some props to Ron Zook and Ty Montgomery. Zook's had a couple creative designs on his returns, and Ty Montgomery took advantage of them.
Yes, but still...
starting at the 40
there were still some
times,
of the discombobulation. Packer special team nuances.
There was the Sam Shields offsides, which was unfortunate, which gave them new life, which, you know, essentially gifted them 4 points, but... You know, overall, I wasn't as upset with the special teams as I thought I was going to be. As far as the defense went, I don't know if I'd categorize it as good game. They were good in the red zone when they needed to be. They allowed way too much on the perimeter in the running game. We'll talk about that in a little bit.
Well, people forget, I think that's funny. Well, what was really funny is everybody, I'm already talking about the next week on Twitter.
Right.
People are like, Corey... the game's not over. And I'm like, okay, here's what you need to understand as a Packer fan, okay? Every year is the same. When Wayne Larrivee drops the dagger...
It's over.
It's over, okay? In the history of the Green Bay Packers, when Wayne Larrivee says the dagger has happened, it is dropped, it's over. You can put it in the bank, you can get a savings bond to it, it's done.
A savings bond.
I didn't know where I was going.
That's good, though. I like it. Yeah, well, I hear that. I'm all about that. So should we kick off the next segment of the show? Or
why don't you do a reset?
How do you mean?
I don't know.
All right. I'm uncharted territory here.
We've done it before.
Have we? All right.
Yes.
Well, why don't we get down to brass tacks here at Packer Transplants? And, you know, before we do anything else, I think there's one thing we haven't done, and we're like 20 minutes into the show, and I can't believe we haven't done it yet. Let's have a little ice cold Wisco Disco.
Oh, we're going there. Okay.
Oh, why not? You know.
Well, I was ready for the good, bad, and the ugly.
All right. Well, I wanted to drink my beer.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, Wisco Disco makes everything all right.
If we're going to do that, then we should talk about the giveaway this week.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing the poster giveaway this week.
Heck yeah.
And so one poster, one special fan is going to get this poster if they tweet said graphic. I'm watching Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer. You know how to do it.
Do it.
No, Ryan, he did not drop the dagger in the NFC Championship game. Okay. Everybody, there were a couple people on Twitter that were saying that he dropped the dagger in the NFC Championship game. And I do not believe that it's true. Someone tell me I'm wrong, but I am pretty sure that Wayne Larrabee has never dropped the dagger erroneously.
Man, that'd be sad if he did.
I'm pretty sure that would be major Packer fan news that I would know.
I would hope so. I would think so. Of course, you were there, so you
wouldn't
know.
That's why I'm kind of...
You weren't connected to Twitter or listening to the radio. So
everybody tweet this. You're going to want to get the poster. It's pretty awesome. And yeah, we're going to have a Zippo giveaway next week.
Zippo giveaway. And no, we're not going to give nothing away. We're going to give a Zippo lighter away. That's what we're going to do.
That's right.
It's hot. It's right here. But I'm not going to show it until next week.
Yeah, we're going to show you next week. We got some cool giveaways. So I'm watching Packer Transplants on Cheesehead TV, sponsored by Wisco Disco Beer. Okay, Aaron.
Are you ready?
Is
it time?
I'm almost ready.
Is it time?
I'm almost ready.
I think it's that time.
Let's do it.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
We got the good. We got James Jones.
The turtleneck is back.
We got Clay Matthews.
Making plays all day.
Aaron Rodgers.
Because you simply cannot not include the guy who tilts the field in your team's favor.
And we got the bad. We got, Clinton Dix.
Keep your head up, young man.
Nate Palmer.
Find anything to do, young man.
Sean Richardson.
Holy bad angles, Batman.
And we got the ugly. We got... I don't agree with this, Sam Shields.
Sorry, he had a few nice pass breakups, but wow, there's a lot more bad than there was good, so he goes in the ugly. But, you know, that's what's so great, is he can live to play another day and redeem himself on Sunday evening against the Seahawks.
This Sunday, if you are at Lambeau Field, there's something you need to do.
You got to do it. First Lambeau game of the year, baby!
One, you need to get yourself a Wisco Disco.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you need to take a picture of yourself with a Wisco Disco at Lambeau Field. And then three, you need to go to Bellevue, go to Stillmank Brewery, show them the picture, you get free beer.
Free.
It's really that simple.
Beer. That's really kind of what life is all about right there. The Packers and free beer. I mean, you can't really get much better than that.
And
I don't think.
Speaking of, Cheesehead TV has a very special announcement that's coming out tomorrow.
Very special.
And we're going to talk about it at the end of the show.
Humongously special. So that's what we call a tease. We're teasing the tease of tomorrow.
Teasing the tease of the tease. Let's talk about the offense.
Hey, why not? Okay, yeah. You know what I'm going to tell you right now? Expect Mr. James Jones to keep getting those red zone looks.
Let's just talk about James Jones for a second,
yeah,
okay?
Right? Oh, God.
Okay, this is kind of ridiculous.
I got the feeling this is going
to
be good.
Well, this is kind of ridiculous, okay? I think that everybody needs to, every single person, okay?
Every
that
human.
That includes.
Every human on the
Packer
face of the earth.
Packer fans, the media. I think everyone, yes, they do sell Wisco Disco inside Lambeau. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where, I don't know when you started watching this show, but.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they do.
It's the first something
it's
something.
It's the first independent brewery ever sold
at Lambeau Field. It's the hotness. So get one of these cans, go like this, and like, you know, send it to us on Twitter.
Yes.
Make sure you send it to me because I love it when people send me these shots of them with their Wisco Discos, but especially when they're at Lambeau Field. And then make sure you've got it on your phone when you go to Stillmank Brewery, and they'll give you a free beer.
There you go. So I think every single person on this planet should apologize to James Jones, because they were all doubters.
Every
you were a doubter.
Single.
I was a doubter. All the media is a doubter. The Raiders were doubters. The
Raiders and the Giants were definitely doubters.
The Giants were
doubters.
They
should be at the front of the line.
Peter King was a doubter. Everybody was a doubter. I think that every show I'm going to talk shit about Peter King. So that was number two.
You've
kind of
made
it.
I know. You've kind of made it
a
weekly kinda, thing.
I know.
Is he going to take over Vic Ketchman's spot?
No. No one can take over Vic Ketchman. Unless you join the Packers,
just tell
no
me,
one would be able
was
to
there,
take
Was the camera
kick.
On you? Was that a two-shot?
It's not a two-shot.
Darn it. Damn it. Because if it would have been on you, that would have been the perfect thing to gif. Like, I would have gifted that all night. When you said no about Vic Ketchman.
Vic Ketchman has a special place in my bowels.
The bowels is right.
The bowels of my bowels. So James Jones, everybody needs to apologize to James Jones because who? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That just kind of shows you.
And the thing is
if you have Eli Manning, James Jones is nothing to you. But if you have Aaron Rodgers.
He's everything, baby.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's like he had two touchdowns. He could have had four. Like, and he did have that third one, like, in the end zone, except that BS Bakhtiari holding penalty, which it was BS, by the way. I mean, that guy fell down. I mean, he should get an Academy Award, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, James Jones was amazing to come in. I mean, I think he practiced three times, maybe.
It's ridiculous.
And then he's on the field doing that. On that first touchdown pass, I nearly fainted.
That was ridiculous.
I mean, the guy is all over him. And it's a classic thing where Rodgers talks about when he's got a guy singled up, and the defender is running with the wide receiver with his helmet, and he can see the back of his helmet.
Yeah.
The defender's head is obviously, you know, not around.
Yep.
That's, like Rodgers always says, we consider that open. And he just threw it where only James could get it and see it. And it was freaking beautiful, and it was like he never left.
Most people are like, oh, James Jones was off the team. Like, your average, your average fan.
Oh, was he on the IR last year?
Yeah.
He was just having Derek Carr throw him nothing. Although he did lead the Raiders in
receptions. And that leads me to my point. My other point, which is how many number one wide receivers are currently on the bench or on the practice squad because they don't have a quarterback.
Right.
It's kind of amazing.
Who around the league could blossom if they had someone?
Or they never got a chance.
Never got a chance.
Or they got cut. Because the Giants cut James Jones, and then he scores two touchdowns in for the team that is considered the number one or the number two team in the NFC.
Right. Yep, absolutely.
What?
Yeah. Well, and what made it even worse is that then the Giants play on Sunday night, and Preston Parker is out there dropping like two big balls that could have been first downs, and he's dropping them.
I mean, I'm surprised.
And then you go back and you go, James Jones really couldn't help this team?
I'm just surprised the New York media has not filleted that. If they lose again, it's going to happen.
I agree. I think because of the drama at the end of that game, the Cowboys game, that kind of got swept under the rug. But if it happened, like if their wide receiving core continues to have the dropsies and come up short outside of Odell Beckham Jr., who obviously is a very exciting young talent, then yeah, I think the New York media will go to town and it'll be delicious.
I mean, maybe this is a fluke, right? I don't think it is.
I don't think it
but
is.
But maybe.
Hey, that brings us back to the point in the script is expect James Jones to continue to get red zone looks. Because look, Randall Cobb is the guy who has caught the two touchdowns Rodgers has thrown against the Seahawks in the last two games. And I know that like the way they've worked that is like on crossing patterns. But look, this team still doesn't have a bona fide red zone threat. It doesn't have a Jimmy Graham that we're talking about. Maybe Richard Rodgers can become that guy.
I mean, he looked like he could become that guy more than I've ever seen him look like he could become
that guy. And that's my thing. It's like if it's by around the 20-yard line, I mean, and James Jones is given single coverage, you bet your ass QB1's going to be looking for him.
Well, and here's the thing. You know what's really going to happen is Seattle's going to key on Jones, right? And
maybe. It depends. So here's the thing.
Somebody's going to step up.
Here's my question about this, and I'm. It's going to be a great chess match. There's been some hay kind of made in the media about the possibility of Seattle kicking Richard Sherman into the slot, and he's done that before in his career. It's not often, but he can do it to cover Randall Cobb. I don't think they do that. My hunch is they will keep Sherman outside doing what he always does in their mostly cover three look. And I bet they just kind of roll different coverages to whichever side Randall Cobb ends up on. Now, might they, you know, switch it up and put Sherman inside? Of course, maybe that happens. I don't think that's going to happen. But because of that, if they do play Sherman the way they traditionally play him, you know where he's going to be. And you put James Jones over on the other side, you've got him singled up on a Thurl Simon who was hurt today, and maybe he comes back. But, I mean, there are going to be opportunities there. there are going to be some major opportunities.
Well, and hopefully the coaching staff gets their head out of their ass and doesn't worry about Richard Sherman and just treats Richard Sherman like a normal human being that he is.
Right. Well, they did. They in the
don't believe the hype, Mike McCarthy.
In the NFC Championship game, they threw over there a couple times on the Devontae Adams slant.
Not as much as they should have.
Yeah, no, no. It was, hey, the pass that got them into field goal range to send it to overtime, that was a specifically designed play to go to Jordy Nelson against Richard Sherman, and it worked. I mean, and that was when the chips, you know, all the chips were down and, you know, you had to have a play. That's where they went. So I don't think they're necessarily going to be scared of Richard Sherman, but I think it behooves them to, you know, move the ball however is easiest, and that's probably going to be on the other side.
I mean, not to harp on the James Jones thing, but I've been thinking about this all week.
Harp away, dude.
And
it's your show.
I know it's the first week of the season, and I know, as we know, week one and week 17, it's a journey,
it's
right?
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, if the Giants gave us James Jones and we were able to get a number one wider, if he's in the top 10 of wide receivers,
I hear.
And him and Cobb are right where Jordy and Cobb were last year, which I believe was 7-11 in yards somewhere around there.
Yeah.
What a gift. Yeah. What a gift! Yeah. Where else are you going to lose your number one wide receiver in preseason?
Right.
And get a number one wide receiver
off the street?
Are you kidding?
I know it's kind of ridiculous.
And no one is talking about it in the media. Like people are like, "Oh, James Jones,"
because you got to let it play out. You got just what you're talking about. You got to.
But if this was the Giants, if this was the Cowboys, if this was,
I hear you.
This would be the only thing we'd be hearing about all the time.
Sports.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe the Cowboys gave the Giants the number one wide receiver.
Right. I hear you. We'll see. Let's see how it plays out. It's going to be exciting. Other things within the offense, talking about the offensive line before, I think the biggest challenge for this team on the offensive side of the ball, because Cam Chancellor is not there, the biggest challenge is going to be Michael Bennett and containing him and making sure he is kept off Aaron Rodgers. And I know they actually did pretty good work against him and that whole defensive front in week one last year until Brian Bulaga went down. And they, as Tom mentioned in the interview, they did a very good job in the NFC Championship game, especially considering that Aaron could barely move. But yeah, I think Bennett's the one you really need to worry about, especially if they try and get him lined up. They will. They'll probably move him around. He'll be in the interior a little bit. But I think definitely on third and long, you're going to see him over Brian Bulaga. Brian's played really well in the last couple of years. You know, there's no secret what I'm about to say here because I say it all the time. He struggles with speed rushers off the edge. I mean, guys who can really fly. That's his kind of his kryptonite, is his one weakness, and it definitely manifests itself on the road much more than it ever does at Lambeau. But that's the one thing to worry about is on third and long when, you know, Mike, as he is wont to do, will have Tom Clements send out guys, and keep Bulaga on an island and not chip away or anything. That's to me is the biggest concern. I think Michael Bennett can single-handedly ruin this game for the Packers.
Well, and I think that kudos has to go to Tom Clements for the first game, right?
Yes. I mean, not as much shotgun. I was very surprised to see that because you'd heard all summer about how nothing would change, but there's a significant, you know, noticeable difference in regards to they still use the shotgun, obviously. That's a big part of the offense, but he was under Rodgers was under center quite a bit more.
I mean, it's really interesting. I had a guy when I work on New Year's Eve in Times Square, as some people know, but about Rodgers came on about like 6 years ago, I feel like. A friend of Tom Clements, he told me, he's like, oh, and it was when he was Rodgers' quarterback coach.
Right.
He's like, Tom Clements, one of the most brilliant coaches on the Packers. And I'm like, he's the quarterback coach.
Right.
Like, that's important. But I'm like, really? We have like all these other coaches. And I almost think that this season could be the ascent of
this
Tom Clements.
Well, and that's what McCarthy wants.
And that's kind of crazy.
That's kind of one of the impetus for him doing this is that I think he was really not upset, but he was kind of struck by the fact last year after the season ended and when all the coach searching was going on around the league that no one was calling the Packers about their assistants. And, you know, to some end, some degree, you can kind of understand why. When you've got Dom Capers, who's been a head coach twice, he's not going to be getting any
interest anytime
soon. But his young guys aren't really pushed out in the media at all. They have availability during the week sometimes. But
well, and
overall,
is that Ted or is that Mike?
It comes from Ted. Ted sets all of that.
I kind of feel like I kind of feel like Ted is the guy who's like, everybody scouts, coaches,
Remember, the Bears wanted to talk to Tom Clements about being their offensive coordinator, and the Packers wouldn't allow it. And then on the other side, you know, you've got Edgar Bennett, who I want him to get a chance so bad. I think he's going to be I think he could be a head coach someday. But he's never, you know, he's not even close to being name-checked. And it's all, you know, people would be surprised how much the media matters here. Because, like, guys who are pumped up on television and or in the local newspapers.
Well, it's marketing. It's classic marketing.
It absolutely
is. If I don't see you, I don't know who you are.
So then on the offensive side, Mike was doing all the play calling, and, you know, no one was talking to Tom Clements about it. No one really wanted to talk to anybody in the offensive. They didn't want to talk to Edgar Bennett or anybody. So this, I think part of this move was a big concession to, look, I want my guys to do well, and I'm proud of this coaching tree that I'm trying to develop, and I want my guys to get a look. So
Chad,
I think that was part of it.
On the chat, why would you want your coaches to leave? I don't think it's about wanting your coaches to leave, Chad. I think it's about your legacy, and I think it's about,
like Aaron said,
your tree, right? I mean, if you look at Mike Holmgren's tree, I mean, we've talked about this from 96, it's pretty extensive.
Yeah. Or Ron Wolf's tree in the scouting departments.
Then again, you look at Vince Lombardi's tree and
you don't want to
fail.
Keep looking. But
thanks, Vince.
It's a good question. Why would you want your coaches to leave? I don't think it's necessarily you want to keep good people in the building. There's no doubt about that. But Mike has talked about it quite a bit, and I've talked to people at 1265 about this, where, you know, they want people to succeed. They want people to have, you know, big, long, healthy careers, but they do. And I think they don't want people to leave. You've seen it so many times where they have, you know, denied interview requests. You know, the only reason Ben McAdoo got to leave is because his contract was up and he wouldn't sign an extension. You know, if he had signed an extension the year before, he'd still be a Packers coach right now. But he wanted to see what else was out there. He knew that if he kept staying around, there's no way he was going to kind of buck up the ranks because of everybody ahead of him. So, you know, it's a double-edged sword a bit. But you want good people, you want them to grow, and if the best way for them to grow is someplace else, and, you know, as Mike has said numerous times, you know, I want these guys, I don't want to be a hindrance to their career.
No.
Then, you know, you let them go.
And no leader wants that, right?
No.
If you're a good manager, you're a good leader, you want your people to be challenged.
And that's the
other
thing.
You want them to have a good life, you want them to succeed in life, and you want them to have ambitions beyond you.
And that's the other thing, is that that's a signal to the rest of the league. If you continuously stunt people's growth, then why would any young, up-and-coming coach want to go there if he has prospects
ding, ding,
elsewhere?
Ding, 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 ding.
You know, I mean, obviously most guys are scratching and crawling to get into the league, so most of them aren't going to be picky, but guys do have options.
People say that about software developers, though. You know what I mean? No, you say that about talent.
Leave it to Corey to nerd it out. No, I know.
I'm just saying, you can't say that. If you want mediocrity, fine. But if you want the best of the best, guess what? The best of the best have options, and they have choices.
Exactly.
And they put a list of why I should do it and why I shouldn't. Now, back to Tom Clements. Yeah. I think that this season is probably going to be Tom Clements coming out party if we have a
hope. Hope so.
Right? Yeah. But what I hope is, and you alluded to this last week, what I hope is that this is going to be the season that Mike McCarthy, you can say 2010,
right.
and I was already sold on Mike McCarthy being a play caller.
Yep.
Like, I do think he's a brilliant play caller, okay? But this could be the time where he puts the head coach and he really like owns that, all of it, right?
Yeah.
So all the stupid challenges, all the things where you know, game time management and time management, he could put all that together. And if he does, he's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
He really is.
I agree. There's a very good possibility. And finally, we're talking about that all stemmed from our talking about Michael Bennett and how dangerous he's going to be. One big way to negate that, obviously, and Rodgers has done this twice now out in Seattle, and I cannot wait to see how he does it in Lambeau Field, is the use of his cadence. I mean, when he got those guys to jump three or four times Seattle in the championship game. In the championship game.
He's turned into Brett. In two ways, he's turned into Brett.
Yeah.
That flick. The
cadence is just masterful. It's just masterful. And it doesn't.
But Brett was that good at that.
Oh, he totally was.
He was a master at that.
He absolutely was. And now here's the thing, though. Like, everyone talks about his arm and his ability outside the pocket and all the stuff he does at the line of scrimmage in regards to the protection schemes, et cetera, getting him in the right play. But, like, the cadence, I don't think it gets enough love. Like, especially in Lambeau Field. People always say, like, why are they so much better in Lambeau? Like, I am not joking when I say the cadence is a big, big part of it. He is so good at manipulating the line of scrimmage and then using the cadence to get the defense going. Okay, and they're going. Okay, no, they're going. Okay, now they're going. Oh, wait, shit. No, they're not going. They're going. Like, he's so good at it. It keeps them on their heels. And he varies it just enough where guys are really questioning themselves.
Yeah, it's very subtle.
It is.
That's
it
where
is.
He's good everyone at. Everyone thinks can't time it. You can't just be like, he's always saying.
Exactly.
Yeah,
everyone thinks
subtle.
It's just 319, go, or whatever. You know, they just think it's easy, but there's a lot going on there, and he's so good at it, and he gets guys two or three times a game, especially in Lambeau. I think he's really going to get Seattle a couple times, and there are going to be some big plays as a result.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, definitely.
On to the defense.
On to the defense.
The stars come out to play. Here's what's crazy, okay?
Yeah.
Who would have thought Clay Matthews would have that kind of game?
I mean, right? I mean, I love this guy. I mean, all preseason, everyone's bitching about how he's always injured, et cetera, et cetera. And then all he is the hero of week one. I mean, two plays in that game
the
where
one,
he absolutely...
The one where he runs all the way across
the field. He saves a touchdown. He runs Forte down from the backside. Forte has nothing but green in front of him.
If a running back can't outrun a linebacker on the weak side...
I mean, he flew from the far hash. It's ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
That's a ridiculous
name
play.
Name another linebacker in the NFL that can make that play.
I don't know. Maybe Levante David.
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. But that was a ridiculous play.
You have to want it. And here's the thing, though, too.
Ridiculous.
Like, you have to want it
every time. But that's a play where, okay, you're coming, you're screaming around the edge, and you see the play going away from you, and it's already basically outside the tackle. Do you keep running, or do you let up?
And I think
there are a lot of guys who don't keep running. And not Clay. He just kept coming. It was such an impressive play. Now I wish I'd vined it. That's what I'm going to do next week. I'm going to vine impressive plays. Because it was so good. It was so good.
Was
and then
ridiculous.
Obviously, the big obvious one is the interception.
Of course.
Which I loved afterwards when they asked him in the locker room. So what was your responsibility on that play? He said, drop into coverage, read the quarterback, get the interception, be the hero. I love that. Just be the hero.
I mean, you know he practices that in the mirror
he must,
every
right?
day.
He totally must.
That's his. That's all he does in
He's
the
ready.
Offseason.
He's
he
ready.
Works out. He goes in front of the mirror, and he practices that speech.
Practices his lines.
He goes, Clay, what do you think about this? And then he has his like, responses.
Whatever they ask me about, these are my stock answers. Oh, it was so good.
I mean, the funny thing is the guy, if he wasn't as good as he was.
I know. You'd
hate him.
Oh, my God. Like, in the worst way.
You really would.
But he's so good. You're just cool, man. Dude, whatever you got to do, man. Awesome.
And one other thing that we're not really touching on for this show is who would have thought Julius Peppers would be this good in his career?
Oh, my God. Julius Peppers. Week one, baby. Love it. I was just saying. Did that play in the second drive where we almost strip sacked, but he did sack Cutler. I mean, my goodness. That's what he's worth. That's why when everyone this offseason was like, oh, do we pay Julius Peppers the bonus? Like, or not even the bonus. Like, is the salary escalator was supposed to kick in on a certain date. And it was like, ooh, are they going to pay? Of course they're going to pay him. You know why? Because he's a difference maker.
Yeah. And he still is,
Nick
though.
Nick Perry isn't making that play.
I think a lot of people are... it's interesting because he's going to, like Woodson, right? He's going to have this moment it's not going to be this.
Nope.
It's going to be this.
Yep. Yep.
And I think a lot of people thought that was going to be this season.
Yeah, I do too. Although, to be fair to Woodson, he didn't really go like that. He's playing okay out in Oakland. Like, he's not what he once was, but he's okay. He's serviceable. And at his age, it's kind of a miracle, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you'd still rather
have...
He's not
great. He's not what he was. He's not what he was.
He definitely did the mid thing,
I agree.
You know, where it's like he stopped at the top level stuff.
Julius
Peppers is still the top of his game. He's not at the peak, but he's right at the top of his game.
And, you know, fine. Does he take plays off? Oh, yeah, baby. Yeah, he does. And you know why? Because he knows when he can. But, like, golly, Willikers, when he turns it on, holy cow. And I tell
you what. That bull rush around, that was ridiculous.
I'll tell you what. This week, against that Seattle offensive line, Lord have mercy, hide your wife and kids because there is going to be some damage done. It is going to be ridiculous. Like, if they move him inside like they did early on in the NFC Championship game, Sweezy should call out sick like Eric Fisher did against J.J. Watt because that is going to end poorly for young Sweezy. I love Julius Peppers. I love that signing. I love what he did on week one. I love it, and I can't wait to see what he does against Seattle. That's all I got to say about that.
I agree. He wasn't even on the thing, but I
know, but I'm glad you brought it up. I'm glad you brought it up. But what is on the thing is we so eloquently
call it.
It's
not Expect the Bears.
No.
Hello.
No. No.
Yeah.
No. It's Expect a Lot of Cover One.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Expect a Lot of Cover One.
I do have that it's graphic.
All right. It's all good. Expect a Lot of Cover One because I think, you know, for everything that we've seen from the Seahawks all of last year and even preseason, then week one this year, I mean, they're just not dynamic outside. And the Packers can afford to drop that safety down. Now, will it be strict cover one? Of course not. They'll do some things on the outside. They'll do some mixed match coverage. They'll do, you know, some combo coverage. But ultimately, I think we're going to see a lot of cover one. We're going to see a lot of safety kind of roaming in the box, a lot of robber. It's going to be exciting to have Ha-Ha Clinton Dix kind of in that role, so to speak, as he was last year. The reason they can do this, the reason they can afford to do this is hopefully because Morgan Burnett is back, who Morgan practiced today. We didn't even talk about that yet. Morgan Burnett practiced today. Thank you, Lord. He was limited, but he practiced. And if he plays, that greatly changes what they do on the defensive side of the ball. Because, and that leads into our next thing, you can't stop Marshawn Lynch. We know this. We went through this as Packer fans, watching them pathetically attempt to try and stop Adrian Peterson.
You can hope to contain him.
But you can hope to contain him. It can be done. Is he going to bust off some runs? Absolutely. But they absolutely, positively must. The force player, whoever the force player is, whether that's, and why force player, if you're unaware of the term, is the player responsible for forcing the action back into the middle of the field towards his teammates. Now, oftentimes that's a safety. Sometimes it can be a linebacker. It can even be a corner. But by God, whoever it is, they have to do their freaking job because it was not done whatsoever against the Bears. And that's why you saw so many big runs busting outside against the defense. So more than anything else, yes, Marshawn is going to get his. That is going to happen. I am kind of shockingly not worried about the interior of the defense against the run. They actually kind of showed that they can do work up there, and they're getting Dayton Jones back. Guyon's still out, and that's a hindrance. But B.J. Raji, while he wasn't dynamic, he held his own.
Yeah.
And
I was surprised by Randall. That Randall surprised me the most. How many times have we seen a first-round draft pick make a difference in the first game of the season?
Yeah, and come in at the corner position and really not get tested. That's what kind of surprised me. They didn't really go after. I mean, they went after Sam Shields instead, which I thought was interesting. But Damaris Randall
maybe
played
they,
well.
Maybe the Bears, in their ineptitude, saw some kind of weakness in Sam Shields.
I don't say that. I wouldn't say that's entirely inept because it worked a lot of the time, especially in the run game.
Didn't work when it mattered.
Well, not in the end zone. That is for sure. But they did move the ball in that general direction. That's all I'm going to say.
You know,
but Randall played well.
What really fascinates me is we've had the same defensive coordinator for how many years now?
A lot. Long time.
Okay. And his entire philosophy is predicated on three words.
Uh-oh.
Bend, don't break. And what really amazes me is that Packer fans do not understand that concept. Well, at least the ones on Twitter. Okay? So, again, and this is for the Colleen Brentons of the world.
Oh, no. Called her by name.
Yes. Okay. Please, please, please. Fans, it's the first quarter. Okay.
You really need to tape this because you just say this
quarter,
every year.
First quarter, just stop the tweeting unless you have something positive to say. You will very rarely.
You can't tell me what to tweet.
Actually, you know what? You probably have never seen me tweet something negative until the second quarter.
I would say like maybe like
the
second
usually
half.
The second half because you don't really know anything until
the
second half.
You don't know the arc of the game.
How do you know where the journey is going to take you? How do you know what's going on? How do you know the defense and the offensive possessions? Like
Clay
you
Matthews is
going
to make a huge interception.
Who knows?
How do you know?
Who knows
you
where
don't
we're
know.
Going?
A lot of ball game
okay?
left, dude.
A lot of ball game.
So I just ask. I know it's not going to happen. I know it's futile because
it is.
Colleen and other fans are very smart. They're people I love and adore. right? There are people I've gotten to know.
Yeah.
But I just can't believe it. It's like, you got to check your emotion at the first quarter. Then you can have emotion in the second quarter. Here's what you should do, okay? And this is what I learned, okay?
I love that you're like basically relegating people's Twitter use right now.
Yes, I am. Like it. I like I'm a Twitter. Like I'm the.
By the way, I give you all permission to tell him to go himself.
That's fine. That's they right. can. They already do. Everybody wants an Android app. Okay. So here's the thing, okay? I forgot. Okay. Here's what you need to do.
All right.
You need to
tell us.
Take a brat. Okay.
Of course, it involves a brat.
You need to lay chili on it while you're watching the game. You're drinking your beer. Okay. Then you need to put some onion jam.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry.
Onion
now.
Jam right on top. A little bit of ketchup, a little bit of mustard, whichever you like, the yellow kind or the other kind.
The Dijon.
Then you need to eat that.
Right.
Drink another beer.
Right. And then tweet.
Then tweet.
Corey's Guide to Tweeting. Involves the making of a brat. I like it. It's not a bad piece of advice. I think we should all follow it. Corey's rules for Twitter during the game.
I wish people would follow my rules because then they wouldn't be so annoying on Twitter. Oh, did I say that out loud?
Oh, sorry. Dude. Send letters and angry tweets to Corey Behnke.
contact@cheeseheadtv.com.
Are you ready?
Yes. I think so.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's This Week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Corey Behnke, is there anything going on in the Packer Blogosphere?
There is.
What would that be?
We have a new app.
What? We have a new app at cheeseheadtv.com?
We do.
Is it available for Android?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's not available for Android.
That's a shame.
But everybody should download it. I was actually going to have a little feature where we show off the app on the site, but I couldn't get HDMI to work. But if you have an Apple device.
Any kind of Apple device.
And you care about such things, you're watching the show, you need to download the app. You can actually watch this show on the app. We're gonna fix it so it looks like you can actually see the show on the video player now.
What's cool?
If you actually click on the Packers.
There we go. Look at that.
And you'll see the live stream.
There's the live
it's
stream.
Pull up.
On the app, ladies and gentlemen.
The Wi-Fi slow, so it's not pulling up, but there you go.
There's our show.
There's us watching ourselves on the app.
Can I just say right now, this is so hot because, like, look, okay, you've got all the Cheesehead TV stuff here.
Yeah.
And then
you got the normal stuff.
Packer World. So you've got everybody else that covers the Packers.
Yeah.
Oh, and then what's Blogosphere? All the Packer
blogs.
Yeah,
it's all the independent blogs. So
it's like you never need to go anywhere else ever again.
No.
For any of your Packers.
Yeah, I mean, technically, it pulls Packers.com, NFL.com, it pulls. And here's the thing. We're not stealing anybody's content. We're giving them.
They get all the traffic.
They get all the traffic. You're pulling their stuff. And well, the coolest thing that I'm hoping that people do is I'm hoping that people comment. So the whole point is we're a Cheesehead TV Packer fan community, right? And so I'm hoping that we can generate comments on those because it's hard. Like, you're on JS Online, you want to comment. You're on Packers News, you want to comment. This way, you stay inside Cheesehead TV. You comment. You can comment with the people that you know. We've got podcasts on there. We've got the schedule on there. What I really like, if you dig deep into the schedule, so let's say like you're thinking about the Bears game, you can actually go back to the Bears game. If you go in the schedule and you click on the Bears game, you'll actually see all the posts from Cheesehead TV related specifically to the Bears
game.
So if Aaron's gut reactions, good, bad, and the ugly, Zach Cruz's quick takes, all the posts that anybody was like about that game, they're on there. So I like that, and I really like Packer World. When we first came out with the site, I came out with Packer World,
which was awesome.
And this is another level of that. And yes, I do want to come out with an Android version at some point, but one day,
one step at a time. This step is pretty freaking hot.
Oh, yeah. I just play Blogger here.
Why not, man? Do it, dude. Do it. I mean, it's hot. That's how hot the app is, you know?
I mean, I'm really looking forward to
people's comments about the app. So if you download it, if you have problems, we're going to, you know, some people had some login issues today. I don't know if it's a spacing issue. I don't know what it is, but we will fix them. And I really want to get your feedback. I heard a really good comment today about how they wanted a feature where you could click a button and hear Anchor's latest quote, which I thought was kind of brilliant. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
It's pretty hot.
So, you know, let me know what you need in here. But if you look, okay, so I spent all last summer looking at Packers app, Packers.com, which is a great app now. The first one they had was garbage.
It was.
But this one is really...
The new one's good.
I don't really use it that much because I really wanted something. One of my favorite apps is TeamStream. I don't, you know, Bleacher Report's TeamStream is very good. But the problem with TeamStream now is you get too much stuff. So this
too much stuff you're not interested in.
Yeah, like they'll try to get me to be interested in the Orioles, or they'll try to get me to be interested in something I don't care about. So this, you know, it's Packer centric. You know that's all you're gonna get, but you're gonna get everything. Like we got Titletown Sound in there. We've got Packer Geeks. Most people have never heard of Packer Geeks. They've been around as long as Cheesehead TV. They're a WordPress.com blog, but you know what? They write good stuff, and it's interesting to be able to see what they have to say. So it's cool for, I feel like sometimes I'll just be sitting there and I'll just be like, hey, what are other people saying? This
about
is a
Packers.
Way
right,
you to get everything that everybody's saying right now while you're sitting on the toilet or you're at the airport or you're like,
wherever you may be.
Exactly.
That's it. I mean, what a soundbite. Can we cut that up and sell it to advertisers?
No.
Love it. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we're not done.
No, we're not.
One more thing.
Oh, no.
This is a very special announcement, by the way.
Oh.
Cheesehead TV, this year, for the first time ever in the history of our site, is sponsoring. We are the sponsor. We are sponsoring the Packers fence directly across from Lambeau Field.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Hide your wife. Hide your kids.
We are sponsoring. There are two local Wisconsin artists, up-and-coming artists, making a mural. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Look for the announcement tomorrow. But this is major news for Packer fans.
Humongous.
When you go to Lambeau, you will see a fence.
Sponsored by.
Sponsored by Cheesehead TV.
That's the hot.
That's the virtual becoming the physical. And I just played Packer Vlogs for you again. Why did I do that? That was so weird.
But I love it.
That was just weird.
It's like an episode of Tron. Wait, those weren't episodes, though. They were just a movie. It's like Tron in reverse. Instead of the physical going digital, it's the digital going physical. I love it. All right, can I end the show now? You all done? Wait, I need your prediction for Sunday.
42-0.
I'm going to say Packers 27, Seahawks 21.
Alan wants a player, Aaron, so you need to make that happen.
A player on the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. Players don't like this show. They don't like us. I keep it too real.
No, they like us. Some of them like us.
Some of them like us. That's true.
Some of them,
Some of them really don't like us.
I think we should. Some of them really don't like us. I think what we should do is have a live Skype session playing. What's the game they play? The board game.
Settlers of Catan.
Settlers of Catan.
There you go. All right, we'll do that next Wednesday. We'll call Bakhtiari and tell him to set up.
Like
the
actually watching paint dry, I think would be more fascinating. But
probably. Can I end the show now? Okay. Thanks. That'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Tom Silverstein, along with everyone who connected with us on the live chat, especially you, Alan. You guys really helped make this a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Go Pack Go.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out? Any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.